This lesson is entitled Developing Your Life Through Godly Music with Daniel Hopkins. Brother Hopkins has been a member of our staff for 5 years, and he serves in the student ministries of the church, teaches music and academic classes in Lancaster Baptist School, and teaches piano at West Coast Baptist College. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell in the Lancaster Baptist Church.
You know, music's one of the most difficult subjects really to study and to master as far as, well, what is good music and what is bad music? But how many of you would agree that the Bible has the answers to those questions? I agree there, and sometimes people say, well, you know, the Bible says this, and they'll try to take something and really try to twist it and contort it into something the Bible doesn't even say, and they'll say, well, this is what the Bible says, so this is okay. Or this is what the Bible says, so this isn't okay. You know, there's some things in the Bible doesn't say thou shalt use a piano in your church, and the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not use a piano in the church. But I think music, just like a piano or anything else, can be used the right way and can be used the wrong way. How many of you agree with that? Okay? Music can be used the right way and can be used a wrong way. You know, when Satan fell from heaven and the Lord cast him out of heaven because of his pride, realize before he was cast out, Satan was created and built with musical instruments inside of him. He was a musical creature. His name was Lucifer. Really, when God created him, he created him musically. And above every creature, Lucifer was created musically. And when Lucifer fell out of heaven, guess what fell with him? His music fell with him. And, the devil wants to contort everything that the Lord has put in place. He wants to try to ruin it. And if there's one thing the devil wants to ruin in our own lives, It's really the music that we listen to and the music that we meditate on. You know, this lesson isn't necessarily just about church music, but really music in general. I can't tell you that, you know, every Christian song is right and every non-Christian song is wrong. That would be a very foolish statement. My son watches Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Okay, I haven't heard any wicked songs on it yet. I'll let you know. Okay, maybe I can send you an email if I do. Okay, those aren't Christian songs, but they're fun songs. How many of you sang Old MacDonald Had a Farm when you were a little kid? Anybody have a conviction against that song? I'm not trying to offend anybody, okay? We won't laugh at you. They might. I won't, okay? No, you know, there's some songs out there, maybe some folk songs and things like that. But obviously, there's some traditions that have been set up. And really, we have a Christian nation that our principles are founded upon. And so I'm not saying that folk songs are necessarily wrong and not all necessarily right either. So don't take this and say, well, Brother Hopkins said all music like this is wrong and all music like this is right. This really isn't a study this afternoon on right versus wrong music. We're talking about godly music based on biblical principles. That's what we're talking about, just some principles and some guidelines to follow. Some simple questions you can ask yourself when you listen to a song, and especially a song that's going to talk to your heart and to your spirit. Hey, is it of God or is it not of God? You know, and let's look at number one. If you're filling in the blanks, I don't have slides this morning, just a title slide. But if you're filling in blanks, I'm the last outline in the book. Wow, how does that feel? So 118, session 118, developing your life through godly music. And how many of you don't have that outline in your book? Maybe you didn't make it to print. I asked to borrow somebody's book just to check, and no kidding, it wasn't in there. I was like, oh, man. So I had to grab mine, and it was in mine, so hopefully it's in yours. But number one, God's heart is that we love godly music. You say, well, where do you find that? In Psalm chapter 34 and verse 3 is one example. And there are many verses in the Bible, and I'm not going to take these verses out of context. We're going to try to keep these verses in context. If you know anything about the book of Psalms, the Psalms is located in the middle of the Bible, written by most of the Psalms written by King David. It's really a big songbook. 150 chapters in Psalms, and Psalms is the largest and most widely read book in the Bible. One of the most popular verses in Psalms or chapters really would be Psalm 23. A lot of people like Psalm 23 because it's very comforting. That's a song. I think God places a very big importance on music. I mean, it's right in the middle of the Bible. It's the largest book. David was a man after God's own heart, right? He was a musician. But that we love godly music. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. A, singing and listening to godly music is a command of God. If you show me a teenager that likes to sing about God, I'll show you a teenager that wants to serve God. That'll be the same kid. But there's a teenager that doesn't like to sing about God. If you don't like to sing about God, there's a heart problem. You say, well, I'm not a good singer, Brother Hopkins. It's not about being a good singer or a bad singer. Okay? It's about wanting to glorify God. When's the last time you gave God the glory for something? When's the last time, maybe even by yourself? I used to sing when I was getting ready for school. And maybe that bothered my brother and sister. I don't know. I didn't like playing the piano in the morning, but I liked to sing. My brother always played the piano in the morning. And my brother, he would sing and maybe harmonize with me, and we'd sing in church sometimes. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say just because you're not a good singer not to sing. Because really, singing and worshiping the Lord in song, do you guys know that's a command of Scripture? You know, and when, you know, the choir director or the music director gets up in church and he starts leading a song and you've got your arms crossed, you know, maybe that's because of a heart issue, unless you have laryngitis or something. You know, that might be a heart issue. I wonder. But, you know, God tells us to sing. God wants us to be involved in that. One of the most difficult things for me to do sometimes, I teach in the Christian school, the high school choir. One of the hardest times in my life is when maybe there's just a few, maybe one or two teenagers that just don't want to sing. And usually it's a very small minority. But it's hard for me, because how do you make somebody glorify God, you know? How do you make somebody worship God? We can't, you know, and you know that. I know that. I can't make anybody worship or serve the Lord. You know, I want them to be involved, and so maybe I'll try to get them involved in warm-ups, because that's just warming up, and that's just part of the class and the rigor. How do you give somebody a grade for worshiping God? You know, that's a difficult position I'm placed in it sometimes. But God really commands us all to sing. And, you know, when you realize and you get past the point of, you know, well, I better sing or my parents are going to get on to me, or I better sing or the pastor's going to think I have a bad attitude. It's not about what people think, guys. You know, Brother Furso, he can't sing. How many of you ever heard him try to sing? He can't sing, okay? Anybody from Lancaster Baptist who's been here for a little bit knows Brother Furso can't sing, okay? But you know what? Brother Furso is a very joyful man. Brother Furso loves to sing, though. And it's a blessing to me to see him, not to hear him, but to see him on the platform singing. That's a blessing to me, just to know that he wants to serve the Lord. And notice that when we sing to the Lord, that's a good sign. If you like to sing, I hope you like to sing songs about God. You know, a lot of times we like hearing songs that kind of appeal to the flesh. You know, maybe it's a song. Maybe it's of a different genre than a Christian music. You know, and like I said, there's nothing necessarily wrong with folk songs. But as you listen to the words, you know, does it draw your heart close to the Lord? Or does it teach you things that are different from what your parents taught you about the Bible and God's Word? You know, and it's important to love godly music. It's a command of God. B, it's part of my worship and praise to God. Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know, it should be personal, your worship and your praise to God. We're not talking about praise and worship as a fad, okay? Because sometimes somebody might like to sing because they go to a, you know, I went to this Chris Tomlin concert and I like to sing because Chris Tomlin made it fun. No, it's not about that, okay? Worship is not a fad. I like what Brother Davison said the other night. Somebody mentioned Brother Davison and the traditions of the Bible are timeless. They're not fads. You know, and though you might like a song here or there that maybe somebody sung by something differently and it has a good melody and it has good words and things like that, don't just sing because it's a fad or it's a fun thing to do. You know, it might be easy for you to sing a song like In Christ Alone that maybe you learned in the last 3 years or something like that. You know, but at the same time, can you turn around and sing a song that maybe your parents sang? You know, maybe a song like The Old Rugged Cross. You know, those are great songs. And by the way, when you get older, you're going to love those songs. And if you don't love them now, I hope you love them right now. But the songs like The Old Rugged Cross and I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, those are good songs. Those are foundational songs. They teach very godly, traditional truths that we should know. You know, so we get all excited about maybe a song that's a little bit different, a little newer, maybe one that's a little less familiar, okay? But at the same time, we ought to have a foundation in our music of songs that are tried and tested, they're proven, they're songs of revival. Many of the songs in your hymn book, and by the way, they're not all hymns. I heard a lady tell me the other day, she said, play so-and-so hymn, and she was acting like it was an old hymn, and I think it was written in 1970 or something, you know, and I was like, well, it's not necessarily a hymn. I didn't tell her that, but I was thinking that. You know, there's hymns in the hymn book, and there might be some gospel songs in the hymn book that kind of have a chorus or a refrain as well. Some of those more traditional songs, though, those are good to have, and they're good to sing. But we ought to have a time where you worship and praise the Lord. You know, and it might not just be necessarily singing, but the Bible says we can have a song in our heart. You know, we should have a song in our heart. They sang a new song. You know, in heaven we're going to sing. And some of you are probably thinking, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a voice better than, and maybe you can think of somebody like Brother Ryan Gass or something. Yeah, I'm going to have a voice better than him when I get to heaven. People come up to me, you know, and they say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to play the piano better than you. I says, go home and practice. You can play better than me right now. That's cool, you know. But in heaven, we're going to sing and we're going to worship the Lord. And it's very biblical to love music. And you might not be a musician, but I hope you love music. See, it shows to others that I want to glorify God. Psalm 40 and verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. It's scary sometimes. I remember as a teenager, I would, a lot of times I try to sit toward the front, and I didn't really get saved though till I was 16 years old, but there were times in services where I didn't necessarily want to sing. And I realized later that that was a heart problem. And I thought, oh, it feels stupid to sing this song. Or, oh, we always sing this song. Or, I'm just not really interested because I don't like the guy leading the song. There was this one guy, and this is from Jennifer, my wife's church. And he's a great guy. This guy is an engineer. I think he still leads the singing there. He's been there for like 30 years. And when he led the singing, I went and visited the church when I was in high school. And he would lead it, I mean, just the weirdest way. He would kind of do this little thing right here. I mean, and he wasn't a singer at all, but he would lead the singing. The joy of God was in his heart. But I remember as a teenager thinking, you know, should I sing along? Or does it look weird for me to sing along? Hey, it's not about other people. It's about my relationship with the Lord, you know? And sometimes you might feel a little awkward maybe singing when nobody else is singing. But it's okay, you know, because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the Lord, you know? It's not, when I sing, if I stood up and sang a special for you, that would be horrible. But if I got up and I sang a special for you, that wouldn't be the right thing. But if I sang a special for the Lord, that's different, right? Because our praise isn't directed towards other people. I think a lot of times we have the wrong concept. Oh, I want this song. I want so-and-so to hear the song because it sounds good. Well, it might minister to the hearts, and it should minister to the hearts. But ultimately, it should give the praise back to the Lord. In Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, I can remember many times in my life where I've had a hard time, and I've went back maybe to a song, and it was a Bible-based and a scriptural song that maybe I heard at home, or maybe I heard in my car, or maybe I heard it even at church. And, you know, that song ministered to me. You know, that wasn't a time where I thought of a secular song and said, oh, wow, that secular song just really helped me out. That song didn't talk anything about God. No. It's always gone back to a song that maybe I learned at church. A Christian song with good words. And I went back to that song. It wasn't the song that got me to move a certain way or to think a certain way that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. It was always the songs that drew me closer to the Lord that I appreciate the most. You know, and music should do that, and it can do that. Number two, godly music can affect my heart and my spirit, and it should affect our hearts and spirits. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know that word, those words, all things, include your music. If you got saved in the last year, that music that you wanted to listen to before you got saved, I hope you can give that up. You should give that up. Turn to Romans chapter 6 real quick, and it's not in your notes. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 talks about not living in the bondage of sin after you're saved. How many of you say, Brother Hopkins, I know for sure that if I die to go to heaven, I've been born again. Show me by an uplifted hand. I've been saved, Brother Hopkins. I remember a time in my life where I accepted Christ. I'm a Christian. Okay? Romans chapter 6 is talking to Christians. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So, basically, we learn from this chapter as you read on that once we're saved because of eternal security, we don't have a freedom to sin. We have a freedom from the bondage of sin. I want you to look there. Look in verse 14 and verse 12. It says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield your servants, yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Talking about salvation. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Okay, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now look in verse 21. This is a very convicting verse. And think about this verse as a Christian. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Talking about the sin in our lives. For the end of those things is death. You know, think about maybe before you were saved or maybe a time when you were not right with the Lord. What fruit had ye in the things that you... What fruit do you have from that song you listened to when you were living in the flesh? You don't have any fruit from that. If you want fruit in your life, you want results as a Christian. You know, we look at, You know, we look at great men like Dr. Barber, who came up last night and preached, and just a wonderful ministry that he had, and Dr. Ken Willett, Brother R.B. Willett's father, who just a very fruitful ministry, and like, man, it would be cool to live a life like that. Wow, that guy really did something for the Lord. You know, we want the fruit. We want the power of God, but we don't want the pain. You know, we want the fruit that those men had, but we're not willing to sacrifice. We're not willing to live in the Spirit in order to obtain that. You know, there's a missionary that I know. His name is Dalen Hicks. Dalen Hicks is one of the most amazing men that I know. He was a missionary to Haiti for many years. His wife's going through some health problems now. He's in his 70s. But Dalen Hicks has always been a blessing and encouragement to me. One of the most talented men I've known. Just a lot of great achievements. I remember God called him. He told me the story, and his wife told me the story, how God called him to be a missionary to Haiti. And he lived in Texas at the time. And in order to get from Texas to Haiti, he built a boat. And he sailed on that boat to Haiti, and he lived on that boat for 7 years. I mean, that's dedication. And we look at a guy like that, wow. This guy took the Creole language, the language of the Haitian people there, the Creole language. He translated the Bible into Creole. And really the New Testament, now almost done with the Old Testament as part of a big project. He did that himself. The Lord allowed him to translate the Bible into another language. Wow, I think we'd all agree that man was greatly used of God. That boat that he built, by the way, it was built out of concrete. I mean, he built a boat out of concrete, used the principle of buoyancy, and lived on that boat for 7 years. Amazing guy. You ought to hear him play the guitar. I mean, he's just astounding. Very smart man. He took all the wood in his backyard when he lived in Mississippi. I mean, just a bunch of land that he had. He took that wood, took it down to his table saw, basically, and used tools in his yard and built his own house, a beautiful two-story house. I mean, he's just awesome, just out in the middle of nowhere in Mississippi. Very talented man. But you know what that man did with his talents? He yielded himself to God. And now, look, those people can hear the gospel in their own language and read it for themselves, all as a result of a man named Dalen Hicks who surrendered his life, talents, and abilities to the Lord. That man's been an encouragement to me. When I've been discouraged, that man has talked to me. I remember right before Jennifer and I got married, that man, and really, he probably doesn't have a lot, you know, as far as the sacrifices, the financial sacrifices he's made to be a missionary. But I remember he gave me some money before Jennifer and I got married, and I didn't want to take it, but he made me take it. And he said, I want you guys to have a great time on your honeymoon. And that was a blessing to me. But that man's been so greatly used of God. I believe a large part, you know, that man is going to have fruit amounting to his account when he gets in heaven. Not only to the people he's ministered to, but the people they minister to, ministering to my heart and many other people. You know, we want to get to the end of our life and say, yeah, I want to be used of God like Dalen Hicks, or I want to be used of God like, and you can put someone's name in that blank, you know. But are you yielding yourself to God? Or are you yielding yourself to sin? Don't let music be a weight or a hindrance to you being used of God. Don't let it be that thing that you turn on the radio in the car every morning and you listen to that music. You let it affect your flesh. Hey, and you can't walk in the Spirit. Why? Because you have that hindrance there. You know, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You say, Brother Hopkins, music can do that? Well, of course it can. Music is totally spiritual. Music deals with your emotions. The words of a song are the truth or the error of the song. And that music gives you that feeling that the truth is trying to get, the point that that author is trying to get across. That music is supposed to move you in emotion. Did you know that? Music is created for emotion. It is. I don't care who you talk to. Music is meant to be emotional. Okay? It affects your spirit. It affects my spirit. We should listen to music and be involved in music. That's Christ's honor. You know, that uplifts our spirits. It helps us think about the right things. A, it helps me to think about pure things. It helps me to think about pure things. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's it say? Think on these things. Say it with me. Think on these things. I like to call that verse God's mind filter. He tells us what to think about in that verse. And ask yourself, does the music that I listen to, does it allow me to think on these things, or does it hinder me? B, it does not tell my flesh to control me as worldly music does. It doesn't tell my flesh to control me. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. You know, when you hear Brother Schmidt get up and give a testimony about his cancer, you know, and he talks about God's grace, I'll tell you what, a good feeling goes through me. Wow. I was reading the book he just put out the other night. I'm on page 50 right now. I read 25 pages on Friday night and 25 pages on Saturday night. And I haven't had more time to read it, but I'm looking forward to finishing that book called Off Script. How many of you saw that book? Off Script. And I'm reading that. And when I read it, feelings went through me. I mean, I had the feeling I wanted to cry at one point. And then at another point, I just wanted to get up and shout. I mean, it was just awesome. It was a good book. Okay? Maybe watch a patriotic movie. And you enjoy that movie so much because you're very patriotic. And it just gives you a certain feeling. Or maybe you're at a baseball game. And you hear the national anthem sung. And that feeling. You know, those feelings are good feelings when they're directed toward the right ways. And so I'm not saying when your flesh has a good feeling or a certain feeling that's necessarily bad, but when it's a sinful feeling, it is. You know, God gave us feelings and emotions for a good reason. And it should be to encourage us to want to do right. It encourages me, to make decisions based on Bible principles instead of feelings and emotions. We shouldn't base our actions on feeling. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. D, it guards me against evil. C was, it encourages me to make decisions based on Bible principles instead of feelings and emotions. D, it guards me against evil. You know, in 1 Samuel 16, when Saul was the king and David was a shepherd right before he killed Goliath, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You know, the Bible even talks about how music affects people and the way that they feel. Look in E. It lifts my spirit. This is a little bit lengthy passage. I'll read it. 2 Chronicles 5, 12-14. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of He-Man. That's a cool name. He-Man. Yeah, I'm like He-Man. And Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Can you believe that? 120 trumpets. One trumpet's enough, man. That's loud, but 120. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Well, that tells me right there the music was right music. It was godly music. It was music that uplifted the Lord so much that the priests, they didn't have anything to say. I heard this statement the other night, man, that music was so good. I mean, we could stop the service right here. And there was an element of truth there. Though we came for the preaching, there was an element of truth. After the music was done, I think it was on Monday night. After the music was done being sung, either Monday or Tuesday night, music was done being sung. I mean, we could have had an altar call and went forward. You know, it reminds me of this passage right here. But it lifts up my spirit. F, it strengthens my faith in God and His Word. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's a song that comes out of Colossians chapter 1 that I really like, and the ensemble sang it on Sunday night. And it comes out of Colossians chapter 1 where the Bible talks about God being the creator. And the verse says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And the way the song starts, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. And really, when I hear that song, it strengthens my faith in God's word. It helps me to almost really feel the truth that's evident there. The world wants us to feel the lies that they push on us through all the secular music, okay, and different genres, through different types of ways, whether a lot of times you just be shopping in Old Navy, you know, and you hear music and it's, you know, you can't really help it. And you're still shopping, but you might hear something that's not really, you know, glorifying to the Lord. It might be somewhere else. You might be in a friend's car or something. You know, but songs like that song, it's called God of the Ages. And when I hear that song, it just really uplifts my spirit. It helps me to feel the truth that is in Colossians chapter 1. It allows the Holy Spirit to work in my life. It allows the Holy Spirit to work in my life. You know, we want to be used of God. We want fruit. We want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Ephesians 5:18-19. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, when somebody's drunk, you know it. You can smell it on their breath. You can see it by the way that they act. I remember a few times, I'm from Louisiana, and in certain parts of where we would go knocking doors, you'd find a lot of people that were drunk. I remember one time we went to some projects in New Orleans, and I forget what those projects were called, but I've heard that they were the most dangerous projects in Louisiana at the time. And there was a, we were out there just passing out gospel tracts. I'm not from New Orleans, but we were down there another time. It was where Jennifer's church was. We're passing out tracts, holding little backyard Bible clubs and things like that. And then, one of the people said, yeah, a policeman got hung here last night. I'm like, wow, you know, this is where I'm at today, and that happened last night. But yeah, people get killed here all the time. You know, I'm just knocking on, hey, I'm from the church, you know. So I made sure the next day I wore a tie, big badge, church person, you know. Don't kill me, you know. But this is dangerous places, you know. But you could smell the drugs and the beer and just the lifestyle. It was just raunchy. You know, you knew what was going on behind that. It wasn't just there. You know, it was different. You knew what was behind that smell. You know, but what's the Bible say? Hey, don't be drunk with wine, but it says be filled with the Spirit. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit as well, people would know in a good way. Kind of like somebody being drunk in a bad way, being filled with the Spirit in a good way. When you're filled with the Spirit, other people will know. And it's not, they don't know to the effect of, oh yeah, so-and-so, he likes to act holier than thou. You know, no, it's not that. When people know that you're truly filled with the Spirit, when you're faithful to tell others about Jesus, you're faithful to go soul winning, you're faithful to make the right decision. When people can come to you and say, hey, what would you do? And you say, I would do this because of this. And, you know, there's a Bible principle. Or, hey, you know, I don't know. That'd be something questionable. I'm going to stay away from that. You know, that's the right kind of teenager. That's the right kind of decision making there. But it ought to allow the Holy Spirit to be work in our life. It says speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there you go. If you're not a good singer, hey, just say it in your heart. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. H, it teaches me practical application for modern day Christianity. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's very practical. We see the life of Jesus, and by the way, Jesus did come ultimately to pay for our sins. He died to pay for our sins, but he did live a perfect sinless life. He gave us a wonderful example that we can follow. Music should point us in that direction. It allows another Christian's testimony to influence my life. You know, the singer that you're listening to, do you realize that person's influencing your life for good or for bad? You're allowing that person access to your life. There's a certain CD that I like to listen to. It's a string CD. And I like to listen to it in the morning on the way to work and on the way home. And I noticed something about that CD. And it's not flashy. It's not like it has drums or anything in it. It's just piano and violins, you know. But I like to listen to that CD. I don't listen to a whole lot of music. I think a lot of people think, you know, if you're a musician, you listen to a lot of music. I really don't. But there's one CD, if I do listen, sometimes I just like for it to be quiet in the car. But I like that CD because when I hear it, I can think about the words. And it just really, I don't know. It's a very peaceful CD, but it just makes me feel good. It does. And the reason it makes me feel good is because I know it's right. I think about the words to those old hymns, those timeless hymns, you know. And it does good for my heart. I notice I have a better attitude when I listen to that CD, rather than maybe even not even listening to anything. You know, turn on Fox News and, you know, or look it up on my iPad. You know, I'm just looking, reading the news, and I get mad sometimes when I read the news. I'm like, what in the world? You know, I just turn it off, whatever, you know, get in a bad spirit all of a sudden. You know, but when I turn on a CD like that and I listen to it, man, it's just good. It's just good. You know, music can help you so much. It's a wonderful influence if used in a right way. Last passage, and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 1:6-9. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, and how ye turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. I think what Paul was talking about here was the testimony and the influence of other Christians that had on other Christians. And realize when you listen to music, whether it be of the world or of God, you're allowing those people, whether they're of the world or of the Lord, to influence and to mold your life.